I wanted to start first with Iran. Beginning with Ibai Elihu. We will go back at some point, and the some point being as soon as we finish this today, and to talk about two other issues in the Sugya. One is whether or not all these Dikdukim are Ma'akev. And number two, one particular aspect, Aret Muteres L'Chadam. Those are the two other things that I think are actually important to talk about. The Ran talks about the Dikdukim in the previous paragraph. Well, we'll start with Ibai Elihu, and it's Kuf Lamed Zayin, at least in the Ma'os Hadar, and Daf probably Memhei. Okay, Memhei Aleph in the standard. I can't tell where the page breaks. All right, Nissim, can I please ask? Can I ask you to please read? Now, just notice, by the way, the language of the Ran is interesting. The Gemara Amrinan Me'ikara, the Rabbanu Rav Yehuda Kamapalki. So he already hints to this other interpretation floating around, because he says initially the Gemara suggests that they're arguing about this. Does the Gemara ever change its mind? That you say initially, Me'ikara, it says. So the answer is the Ibai Elihu at the bottom. Me being a Vidain or not. So it's not obviously compelling that the Gemara changes its mind about it, but at least the possibility of reading that is there. Continue. Tell me, Safer's I mean, it's true. It's possible that he intended to be the Gairi Sharal Peh, and this is just a riot, but that doesn't seem very likely. So the Chachamim think that Yadayim Sheina Mochichos Kegonze Armoch is sufficient. Okay, and Rabbi Yehuda? Okay. And he explains, Klomar. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. So now the Ran presents the problem. With one important detail omitted, which is what is ostensibly a crucial detail, which a lot of the Rishonim choose to kind of overlook here. Yes, Abaye is forced to back out and concede. That does put a little bit of fly in the ointment here. If Abaye hadn't backed out, then it would be a little easier going with what some of the Rishonim are going to do here, but that's the way it is. Okay, so he says, so this is very interesting, what the Ran says. He doesn't say like some of the other Rishonim say. Right? He says that the Gemara here is, I'll put in, deliberately ambiguous. Meaning it leaves open all the possibilities.
How so?
So if we're going to really follow the original Havamina and say it's a Kitanoi, which is the words that you have to emphasize here in this sentence? The Becholdochta. Yes, that's the key. The Becholdochta. Notice if in fact the Gemara here is working with the Havamina and the Darm, that yes, it's a Kitanoi, then the key is when the Gemara says Rabbanan Savri that Yadayim Shem Mechichas Yadayim, it's Becholdochta. Not just here. And Rabbi Yehuda Savar, never Yadayim. But the E. Right, so the problem you're faced with, of course, is if you want to say that our Gemara is working with the, I'll call it the Maskana, ignoring the Abaye problem, it's working with the Maskana of the Gemara and the Darim, so then there's something missing in the language, because here it just says, Rabbanan Savi Yadayim, Shena Mechichos Havi Yadayim, and Behu the Savar Enam Yadayim. So, Hacha Hachi Ka Amrinon. This is what it really means. Yeah, read well. Haha is the word you have to emphasize. It's, in other words, we're saying, in this case, the Rabbanan say that Yadayim Shein Mochichos Havyan Yadayim, which, of course, is a little difficult. What does that really mean? There are two ways of reading haha. Translate haha. I know it means here. But here where? Or? Correct. So you have to say, Yadayim Shena Mochichos Haha, not in Gittin, which is a possibility raised by the Rishonim, but rather, which still could be spoken, but Hacha means in this case, in this get, in this specific case. In this case, Yadayim Shena Mochichos, Yadayim which are not explicit in the language itself, have Yadayim because it's Muchach from the context. It's a lot to be Ma'amis, if we use that word. It's a biblical Hebrew, very rare. If you know when it only occurs, I think, once, I'd be very impressed if you know. But it's a modern Hebrew word, no? L'ha'mis, which means to load onto. You know where it is? Maybe? What? Oh, that's wicked. It's wrong, but it's totally wicked. No, Vaya'amos ishal chamoro, Vayashuv ha'ira, Vayosef his brothers. Okay, when they get caught with the gaviyah. So anyway, so it's a lot to load onto that language, right? Rabbanan savri yadayim shen mochichos hav yadayim shen mochichos ki hacha havin yadayim because it's mochichos, right? Because and why is it? Why do you call it yadayim shen mochichos? Because it's not mochach explicitly talk the language. So I guess the better way of saying is yadayim shen mochichos mitoch the language, but mochichos from a context like this are considered Yadayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, Yadayim Shein Mochichos Lo Havin Yadayim, that a situation like a Gittin, here's where I would say Gittin, Kihocha, in the case of Gittin, Yadayim Shein Mochichos Lagamre are not good. That's what you have to load onto the words. The Ran is being very generous to the editors of the Gemara composing the language, allowing the multiple possibilities, right? Most Rishonim did not go down this route. Most Rishonim assume, at the very least, the opening gambit of the Gemara is Kitanoi, right? The question you can ask, as some Rishonim want to say, that the Ibai Lehu later is revisiting that, okay, that's one thing. But nobody else, as far as I know, challenges actually how to read the opening part of the Gemara. Okay. So now he says, Umihu. Okay, so he says there definitely is a difference between the two sugyos.
So, now, is there really? I mean, there is, but is there really? It's a hard sentence. It's always possible that they're both true. And the Gemara in one case picked up on one piece of language and could have filled in the rest, and the Gemara here picks up another piece of it. In other words, the Gemara only spelled out there. It's you know, the Gemara said that chazaka and megarish is chaveru, and you can also say as a chazaka when you write a get for your wife, you go through the trouble, and you hand it to her, and you say amiteras chaladam. Even if you didn't write the date in it, said most normal human beings would think that you're being megarish her with the get. That's why you go through the whole trouble of having it. What's that?
Well, yes, okay. So go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. So now, now that everything is ambiguous, at least this is the way the Ron has claimed it, what do we do? So the Ika, so he's basically explaining why right now we don't have any sugyas and machlokes. Because the Gemara here, when it presents the machlokes and the chachamim, is belashon stuma. And the differences between Minai versus Vidain are not differences. So each one highlights one aspect, right?
How do you fit the
Nehuchach? How do you fit the what?
The Nehuchach that they're
Well, you mean he starts out by saying, okay, but fine, they really are contradicting. But then they're really not contradicting, is what you're saying.
You think that he means he's willing to use the term sugyos machlokos but not necessarily contradicting one another?
I think the line, he's imprecise in his language here. In other words,
he is saying that it's definite that the sugyos are not saying the same thing, but he says it's not really contradicting each other either. Right? In the first attempt, he actually reads the language of the Gemara as to be saying potentially the same thing. Whereas in the second attempt, he says, no, the Gemara's language is not saying the same thing, but there's no contradiction between them. I don't know if we're kind of stuck in our own world of thinking about ideas and concepts as opposed to text. I know we think about text. But in our world, we're thinking, look, if one sugya talks about one piece and the other sugya a different piece, and they're not arguing with one another, that's not sugya samachlafos. But the Ram might say, no, those are sugya samachlafos. The fact that one sugya talks about one piece, the other sugya talks about the second piece and not the first piece, means that they're not the same sugya, even though there's no contradiction between them. Each one spoke about an aspect of the problem. When you get to the conclusion of the paragraph, I would say, well, that's because they're not sugya samachlafos. That's what I would have said. Usually what the term is meant, the reason why I assume you're bothered by it, is when Tosus, the Balei Tosus, who almost never saw contradictory sugyos they couldn't resolve, when they call something sugyos mochlafos, they mean they're irreconcilable contradictory versions of the same sugya. That's what's strange for the Ran to say, that it's muchach, that the sugya is michalfa misugya the hasan. It's not really michalfa, it just focuses on a different aspect. Normally that means that they contradict one another, they're not compatible. He's using it in a different sense. Okay. Well, no, he doesn't say, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that each one focuses on a different, yes, they're different disputes, because they boil down to the same thing. Remember that for the Ran, the answer to both questions for Rav and Abai are the same. In other words, let's say Dividain is a concern, Minai is a concern. Rava will say, in this case, Yadayim Shein Mochichos, Hab Yadayim, because it's still Muchach Mitocha Inyan, that this is the get that he is giving from him to her. And Abai would say in both the Dain and Minai that ordinarily, of course, you shouldn't need it because Yadayim Shena Mochichos Hav Yadayim. But by get, there's a special requirement. So you need Vidain, you need Minai. And as the Svara for both Sugyos of why you do or don't need Vidain is the same. It's just it picks two different words in the clause. That's all. So I don't know why he calls that Sugyos Mochlafos. Yeah.
I just not really with the terminology, issues with the flow of his argument. Meaning,
I know, but then he's Minyashev it. I think it's just awkward because, again, if you, why does he have to? In other words, once you say Velokasha, why aren't you concerned about Velokasha? And let's say they were Mechlafos on the first one. So don't you have a need to resolve them? If on the first, what I'll call the major aspect, they're in dispute, they're certainly, right, what you want to resolve, you know. So, okay, so now he's going to present, how do we then, what is the upshot then? So for Ikamanda Amar, okay, so so we're going to follow Rabbanan in the sugya. V'afagav. I don't know. I don't know why Rabbi Yehuda would put that. Ha Amrin and Hasan. The Rav don't for Pidur Rabbanan Hilkach. We don't need Minai, because the Gemara in Adarim suggests that the Rava could work even for the Rabbanon, meaning even if you hold your daim, Shena Mechikas Lohav in your daim, but you wouldn't need Minai, because Eina the Megara Sheshes Chavera. However, right. In other words, it's not logically inconsistent to paskin one way on Minai and one way on V'dein. So this is basically to take all the explicit texts at their face value. The Gemara in Nedarim says you don't need Minai even according to Rava. And the Gemara here does suggest that V'dein is a machlokas, Yodayim Shirim Achichos Havi Yodayim Anad, and we know how Rava paskins there. So we will paskin like Rabbi Huda by V'dein, we'll paskin like the Rabbanan by Minai. Now, note, by the way, of course, you have... you have three choices, which the Ran is going to present all three, of what to do. One choice is to say, split the psak. The other choice is to say, there are two choices, but it's one choice, but two, a fork in the road, is to say, no, come on, let's be serious. The Gemaras are addressing the same thing. The Machlokas of Yehuda Rabban is across the board. You have to paskin one way or the other. Now, the only question is, which way do you paskin? So do you say, because the Gemara in Nedarim opens up the possibility that Rava really holds like Rabbanan, so we can eat our cake and have it too. We can pass like Rava against Abai. We can pass like the Rabbanan, the majority against Rabbi Yehuda. Or on the other hand, do you say, because the two basically have to cohere, V'dein and Minai, and we know we pass in Yadayim, Shem Mechichos Lahav Yadayim, and we have no way getting around V'dein, because even the Gemara in Nedarim doesn't say that. We're just going to assume it's a Machlokas HaSugya, so I'm going to pass in like Rabbi Yehuda that you need, like Rava, across the board, even within Gittin. Yeah.
Just to clarify, the Ran's first mahala and then this Ika Manda Amar are saying different things, right? The Ran's first mahala is, you should just say they're actually arguing about the consistent machloket in both sugyas, and basically you should just pass in Lo Hav Yadayim. Right?
No, the Ran initially just said that the two sugyas don't necessarily contradict one another. A, because our sugya might be leaving open the possibility that the machlokas of Rav Abai is not, Rabbi Yehuda Chacham is not exactly a daim shenim mechichos machlokas, not the way the Havamin and Darim presented it. And you can assume that it's possible that the machlokas is actually on two aspects, both on Minai and on V'dein. That's where the Ran, that's the opening paragraph. When he says V'ikamanda Amar, he's now saying that despite what I just said, you could split it. You could say that the two sugyos each address a different potential aspect of ambiguity of Yadayim Shirim Mochichos, and they are not necessarily the same level of ambiguity. And we could say that the Gemara Nedarim just says that Minai is not so ambiguous, it's pretty obvious, but and the Gemara here says that the Dain is really unclear. Hence, we're going to say Minai you don't need, as the Gemara Nedarim suggests that Rava could hold like Rabbanan. And then we're going to say that V'dein you do need, because there might be a better reason by V'dein, and the Gemara never says there that V'dein, Rabba could say that like the Rabbanon who don't require V'dein. In other words, despite what, I don't know if it contradicts what the Ran just said. The Ran initially just said, the end of the previous paragraph, the Ran has said that there are two different aspects of ambiguity in the get, V'dein and Minai, or if you're missing them. And now he's saying, and he says they don't contradict one another. Each Gemara points at one. But now he's saying there are those who believe that despite that, in other words, despite that both the Dain and Minai have a degree of ambiguity, it's not the same level, it's not the same degree of ambiguity, and hence it's conceivable to say, to split the psak, to say that you need the Dain but you don't need Minai. And you're basically accepting both Gemaras. And the Gemaras are not, they're still not really contradicting one another. So he says, and the reason he thus says that is both for a textual reason and a logical reason. The textual reason is because the Gemara on the bottom of our Amud says, oh wait, Ibai Lehu, do you need the Dain or not? And the logical reason is because maybe they're not the same. Right? Maybe they're not the same. The Gemara Nedarim has offered us a reason. And by the way, I think they're not the same. I think the idea that you need Minai is going overboard much more than saying you need the Dain. Right? I could understand that when you sell a field and you make a kinyan and you hand a shtar raya over for doing so, you might be very reluctant to make the kinyan. He may be very reluctant to make the kinyan, or let's say he's making a kinyan by paying you the money. It's kinyan kesef, but kinyan kesef doesn't have to be payment, just to be a pruta. But let's say he's paying you the money. He's not going to give you the money until you have wrapped the hand of shtar over to him. So I can understand why the husband, you know, wants to make sure that when he's doing did I get that backwards? So I could understand. Yeah, no, I could understand why the husband's divorcing her, but he also wants to make sure he wants to be done with her. So if he doesn't give her the piece of paper right now as proof, she's going to be hounding him to get a piece of paper because I need proof. It's nice of you to divorce me, but it doesn't do me any good if I can't remarry. So therefore, he says, I'm going to move to Hashal Adam, and here's your proof. So it is possible that Minai is less necessary than the Dain. It seems perfectly logical to me. Yes?
So basically, just maybe to put in another word, tell me if this is right or wrong. He's like, this, the Kamandamar says, we talk to like Rabbah, full stop.
Yep.
I just don't know whether Rabbah thinks, because Rabbah doesn't talk about the Dain.
So that's true. Every sheet I think is going to say we pass him like Rabbah. Except the only thing we're not sure about is what does Rabbah hold by Gittin. Correct. Correct. Right? In other words, in the broader machlokas, in the broader, if we were to say that Kitanai except the Havamim Gemara Nedarim, we would always pass like Rabbi Yehuda. But we're not sure about that. So we know that outside of Gittin, Yadayim Shenu Melchichos Lahav Yadayim. And the only question is there something about these aspects of get, the Minai and the Dain, that might be different. So the first Teret says, yes, no. Minai, yes, is different than regular that. In other words, Mochiach, even if it's not Mitoch HaLashon, but the Dain is not sufficiently Muchach Mitoch Inyan, and therefore Rava would say you require the Dain like Rabbi Yehuda. That's first approach. The Ikamanda Omar. Okay, so this approach, although he doesn't formulate it that way, basically says, how would you, in a nutshell, formulate this approach? Yeah?
Basically prefers the sugya in getting the explanation of the mafoka, but prefers the sugya in the darn for the halakha. But just as the sugya in getting, you would think that it's
correct. No, correct. Okay, that's correct. Correct. He's saying basically dismiss the second half of the sugya nedarim. I was going to say he dismisses nedarim. You're right. He dismisses nedarim for the interpretation of the machlokes, but nobody. Let's put it this way: choosing to pass the grama doesn't conflict fundamentally with the sugya. It just says you pass with Rabbi Huda. Okay. Sometimes we do pass them like the minority against the majority. It's not unheard of. So this basically says, okay, the Dain and Minai are a package deal, not like our clever reading of the maskana nedarim and with our gemara. And we're going to pass like Rava and like Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya. And then the Haran Mamzal. Yeah, you don't necessarily mean it's not, okay? That's what people did. People wrote the Dain. You don't have to, but people wrote it. Venira. So, I think Ein Zeh Mechubar is not about his interpretation of the Rambam, but Ein Zeh Mechubar of the Rambam sheet is correct. One would, I hope, appreciate the irony in this, because it's very much not the Derech HaPsak of the Rambam. It might be, but it's very much not.
Why is it not the Derech Pesach of the Rambam? Yes. I mean, maybe. Maybe. Ephraim? Yeah. Yeah, in other words, it's Al Derech HaDoma. It's the kind of Suya that the Rambam tends to ignore, the Maskana. In other words, the Pshuta Shel Dvarim, Rava, we know what Rava and Abaye hold. I mean, out of curiosity, do we know what the Rambam holds on Yadayim Shena Mochichas generally? I bet you he holds like Rava. I know what he holds by Kiddushin. By Kiddushin, he definitely holds like Shmuel that you need late. That I know. I assume that he holds like Rava. So so why does the Rambam paskin you don't need V'dayin? That's easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. Why does the Rambam paskin you don't need V'dayin? No great chachmas required here. Not a trick question. No. Holds like the Rabbanim. Right? Holds like the Rabbanim against Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the problem, of course, you're going to face is that the Rambam's going to paskin the Yadayim Shenim Ochichos by these other cases are not Yadayim, that you need Li by Mikudeshes. I don't assume he's thinking like Kosos, that, oh, because without Li, it's not even Yadayim Shenim Ochichos. I doubt it. So the Rambam is effectively taking the Abaye v'Rava machlokas there, assuming he paskins that way by Nedarim and by Nazirus, then he's taking that Gemara and he's just, I don't know, it's like he's I don't know how you get around it. It sounds like, in other words, otherwise he has straight contradiction. Like that was the Gemara's problem. I don't know, it's difficult. It's not the kind of sugi you expected the Rambam to paskin like. You would have thought that he would have paskined across the board like Rava. That's what you would have thought. Right? But that's okay. That's no better than it's no better than the Rabbanan versus Rabbi Huda. But your argument that the Rambam saw within Shmuel the contradiction. I don't know. That's a possibility. You really like that, so you don't you?
Yeah. Sure.
Daniel? You don't mean this. You mean this is that's opinion number two. Yes, the Rambam. I would argue the two and three. As the first one said, split the psak.
Right.
So you mean two and three? The answer is yes. I think in terms of thinking about how they read the Gemara, two and three read it the same way.
Oh, I thought it was opposite. I thought it was that Rambam reads the conceptual debate like the Gemara no. And the Gemara in the conclusion explains it, but it says in terms of psak, you have to follow the kaliyah psak based on the.
No, the fact that the Rambam doesn't require Vidain or Minai. Now, I forget about other topics. The fact that the Rambam does not require Vidain and he doesn't require Minai means that he sees it as a package deal.
Right.
And if the Gemara in Gittin says that Yadayim She'ina Mochichos, I'm sorry, and therefore he follows the Chachamim here. The question is why, the only question, in other words, The debate between opinion one versus opinions two and three is whether Vidain and Minai are separable. Whether they're separable. In other words, is this Gemara and Gittin read as an absolute statement? Or can you reconcile the two sugyas? And the answer is, if you say that you don't need Vidain and you don't need Minai, or if you say that you do need Vidain and you do need Minai, we're saying that you can't really separate, you can't reconcile the two sugyas. Did I get that right? No, let me say it differently. You are reconciling, you're ignoring the, right, you can't reconcile the sugyos in the sense that the Gemara in Gittin is assuming, I don't know, can you? I thought, there's a line in the Ritva Hold on. Where's the Sukkah? Which is not the Ritva. So in the Ritva, which we'll read in a little bit, so the point the Ritva opens with is that it's inconceivable that the Gemara in the Nedarim is only solving one of the problems. Right? Because what did the Gemara want it to do? It wanted to say initially that Rava and Rabbi Yehuda's Shita go together, Abai and the Rabbanan Shita go together. Then the Gemara in the Nedarim wants to say, oh no, maybe Rava could hold like the Rabbanan. Why? Because Minai is unnecessary because it's Muchach anyway. So the Ritva, the Miuchas, the Ritva, not the Ritva, the Ritva says that it's inconceivable that the Gemara is only answering one of the questions. If Vidain is still needed because of Vidain as opposed to Feminai, you haven't solved the problem. So he says that no, that the Gemara in the Nedarim is assuming both Minai and Vidain, as is the Gemara here. Which means that Minai and Vidain go together. You either say that Vidain and Minai are not necessary because it's Muchach anyway, Mitocha Inyan, or you say that they are necessary for Rava. Those are the two choices. Right? According to the Gemara Nedarim, Rava can paskin like the Rabbanan and say both Vidain and Minai are not necessary because it's Muchach Mitocha Inyan. But the Gemara in Gittin understands that Vidain and Minai are exactly, or also go as a pair, and they're both needed if you hold Yadayin Shir Mechichas Lahavin Yadayin. This is the common denominator, between opinions 2 and 3. That whatever you're going to Paskin, Vidain and Minai are the same thing. The Gemara Nedarim and the Gemara in Gittin don't agree with one another. Gemara Nedarim says Vidain and Minai are not necessary according to Rava. He can hold like the Rabbanan. The Gemara here assumes that Rava cannot hold like the Rabbanan. You need both Vidain and Minai. The second paragraph in the Ran concludes from that we're going to Paskin, since we know we Paskin like Rava, we are going to assume Yadayin Shir Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayin, and they are rejecting the reading of Rava in Nedarim, and they are coupling the two pieces, and therefore you Paskin Rabbi Yehuda across the board. You need Vidayin Devi Lichiminai. And the Rambam is saying, yes, the two pieces go together, but we're going to accept the Gemara in the Nedarim. That according to Rava, Vidayin Aminai might not be necessary, even though normally Yadayim Shir Mechichas Havin Yadayin. And therefore, we're paskening like the Rabbanan. There's no contradiction. We can accept, which is the maskana of the Gemara Nedarim. But the common denominator, as opposed to opinion 1, opinions 2 and 3 see that Minai and Vidain are not splittable. You either hold they're both necessary to make it Mochichos, or they're not necessary to make it Mochichos. The first one is the second paragraph, and then the second one is the Rambam. That's what they have in common. They have in common the inseparability of Vidain and Minai, which is not true in the first paragraph in the Ran. The first paragraph in the Ran says that, yes, working with the assumption that the Gemara and the two Sugyos was addressing this in different aspects, but we can grade them differently. We can say that Minai is less necessary than Vidain. And therefore, we can paskin like the Rabbanan with respect to Minai, because Rava might see the Rabbanan that way, and then we're going to pass it as Rabbi Yehuda by Vidain because Rava's going to see Rabbi Yehuda that way. That's the first paragraph of the Ram, but the other two paragraphs say nothing doing.
But the common argument in the first paragraph and the third paragraph is they both take the Maskana out of the Darn very seriously.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Fine. So I'm just forced to say the Rambam accepted the Maskana of the Shachar Tari Dome. I don't see any way around it. Yeah?
So the Rambam in Pilsen Ram Paskin is like Marish Shmuel.
Yeah.
About the Stira. And he basically is working with the Gemara.
Okay. I'd like not to say that because it's not typical of the Rambam.
Maybe the Sugi B'Mkoba is the
Sugi B'Mkoba. In Achidami, the Sugi B'Mkoba part is not the part that bothers me. It's that kind of Shaka B'Tai, as the Rambam might use the term in his Tshuva of the Chachmalina. For those, the Rambam was asked about certain issues in a Tshuva. The Rambam had many questions in the Chachmalina. Just for the history credit here, where is Lunel? Yes. It is. Which part of France?
The Riviera.
The French Riviera. It's Provence. I know it sounds crazy to say the Ravid was hanging out on the French Riviera, but that's where they lived. That's where Provence is. It's the French Riviera. It's the eastern part of France that's on the Mediterranean. So that's where Lunel is. If you ever encounter, there are certain Rishonim there who have the title Hayarchi, is their name. So Ibn Hayarchi is because it's Lunel, the moon. I don't know how the city got its name. So anyway, the Chachmei Lunel. Called the what? I have no idea. So the Chachmei Lunel, who kind of liked the Rambam, unlike the Ravid maybe, and then Ravid respected the Rambam too. But the Chachmei Lunel have a lot of dialogue. There are any number of tshuvas of the Rambam for the Chachmei Lunel. So in one of them, he explains something about his Derech HaPsach, that he typically doesn't pay, there's a certain kind of shach levatari that he just doesn't assume is actually meant lamaskana. This line, I don't know if the Magen Mishnah saw this tshuva, but the Magen Mishnah in the last perek of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, the Rambam, explaining why the Rambam in the laws of Tamon Ba'esh, the Turim Nizikin of Tamon Ba'esh, in explaining why the Rambam seems to completely ignore the sugya in the second parak, which limits it extremely if you hold that Isha Mishum Chitzav, as the Rambam does pass it, like Rabbi Yochanan, in the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Leishlakish, Isha Mishum Chitzav, Isha Mamono. So the Gemara in the second parak says, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, basically there's almost no Ptur of Tamon Ba'esh. It's in some very obscure case. And the Rambam totally omits that Ukimta. And so the Magid Mishnah just writes, as one possible explanation, it's known that Darkon Sharabenu is Lahaniach, you know, the Ukimtas in favor of the Pshutan Shomishnayas and Brises. Now, I don't know if he saw the truth of the Chachmel, but the Rambam clearly does do that. He assumes that the Shachmetayah sometimes is just, I'll say, Alderach Itema. You could say, but not really. We don't really hold that way. So here the Rambam accepts the Shachmetayah in the Darim. He does accept that. So in that sense, both he and the second paragraph in the Rambam assume that the two sugyas are irreconcilable, and the Rambam accepts the sugya nedarim, and the other shita rejects the sugya nedarim. Whereas paragraphs 1 and 3, meaning paragraph 1 and the Rambam accept the sugya nedarim, but they debate as to what it means. Right? Paragraph 1 says the sugya nedarim is only about minai, whereas the Rambam would say the sugya nedarim is about both minai and vidain, and hence we're going to pass it like Rav in the sugya nedarim, you don't need vidain. Yeah? What's named in? I want to see what. No. But but Rav is not talking. It's the anonymous sugya talking in the dark. Okay, fine.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm saying. It sounds like he's really working all of the manners of Shmuel and Rav rather than the continuation of the shackle of Italian. If you're saying the shackle of Italian doesn't really make a difference for the maskana.
But I don't understand. Rava says, I get that he passes Vahavi Yadayim, but then you haven't explained why does he omit the requirement of the Dayim? All right, that whatever. Well, it will receive Odeon. I wanted to just take a look at the Ritva as the last thing on this piece of the topic, and then I think we've said as much as I'm going to say. Jonathan, can you start the Ritva? We'll have you and your Chavrusa split it. Okay. Okay. Right. So if you want to, you have to say Yadayim Shino Michichos Havin Yadayim, the way, if you're going to read them together, it means, the way the Ram said, that Yadayim Shino Michichos Kihani Havin Yadayim. Like this is Yadayim, because Mishun the Mechamilsa the Mine Kamar. Umuchamilsa Nami. He couples them. They're both aspects. This is like
This is like this, the Rambam, and it's like the second paragraph in the Ran. They're going to be treated the same way. But Afagav. Okay. Go ahead. Right. The Gemara, if the Gemara in the Darim weren't thinking about also the Bedein being already muchach min ha'inyan, they wouldn't have solved any problems. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda requires Bedein and Minai. And the Rabbanan don't require Bedein and Minai. So just to say, Rava holds that Minai is not necessary doesn't solve your problem. He's still going to be stuck with Rabbi Yehuda. Unless for the Gemara Nadarim, he also doesn't think that the Dain is necessary. That not only is it Muchach that ain't in the Megarish is Chavero, but it's Muchach that he's Megarish with this Ksav. It's a common sense thing to say. Okay, Ulafi, you've got one more paragraph. Right. So that's the key point. So this is the position of the Rambam. Right? In other words, we pass it like Rava that normally Yadayim Shem Mochichos is Yadayim, but in this case it is Yadayim because it's Yadayim Mochichos. It's not Mochichos Mitocha Haloshon or Mitocha Ksa, but it's Mochich Mitocha Inyan. Elamihu. Okay, Mishum. That's a really fascinating way of formulating it, which is that this is, I think, different, by the way, a little bit, subtly different than the first paragraph in the rhyme. How so? Maybe it's not, actually, but it was different than the way I understood it. Different than it's very similar in outcome to it's the same in outcome as the first paragraph in the run, but I think it's a little bit different in its nuance. They might be the same, but I think in the Ran, the question that is left open as to perhaps the two sugyos are different because they're talking about two different aspects. Whereas here, the Midva is clear. It's clear that the position of both sugyos is the same. That we're talking about Vidain and Minai. So in the run, the reason why you might split the Psak is not only because it's logical, but because you're dealing with two different sugyos. Here, for the Ritva, it's one sugya. It's clear that according to the Gemara Nadarm, and you can read this Gemara here that way, that Rava, the Gemara Nadarm is suggesting that Rava would both not require Minai or Vidain. And you could read this Gemara here as saying the same thing as well. But when we get to the Maskana, we're wondering whether or not that actually should be so. Maybe we should pass like Rehuda by Vidain. Even though that's in effect almost not what Rava says. In other words, it's not what the Gemara Nadarim says about Rava. The Gemara Nadarim says about Rava is that he could accommodate having neither Vidain or Minai. And therefore he doesn't have to pass with Rehuda. But our Gemara at the end is wondering, well, maybe since Rava holds Yadayim, Shena Mochicha Slav Yadayim, that Rava does hold, and it should apply everywhere except for by Gittin happens to be Mochiach, but maybe the Dain is not Muchach by the Gittin. And therefore we should split the Psach. We should assume that Rava would have to pass the Rabbi Yehuda there. It's a subtle difference, but okay. So that's what he suggests. What I say, and he concludes that it's two sugyas? Well, yes, but the second sugya is not the first part of Gittin, it's the last part of Gittin.
Yes.
Yes.
you're going to pass in the same way by Minay the day, and then we think, oh, maybe not.
Right. Continue. The Vimira, Yoni. Well read, Jonathan. Go ahead. So once you get to the Ibayi Lahu and we ask about Vidain, we're not just asking about the Vidain. We're asking about everything. We're asking about the whole clause, not just about Vidain. Because it's not Ibayi, do you need Vidain? But Minai certainly you don't need. No. We want to know whether you need everything in the clause. And obviously, therefore, if you have a Suffolk, it's going to be a Suffolk on everything. So go ahead. Afagam. So once you're going to say that Rava is not going to hold like the Rabbanan by the Dain, the Stami is not going to hold like Beminoi against the Maskan of Nadarim. The Havamina. The Kaimalan. Okay. This is paragraph number 2 of the Ran, correct. Okay. So much so that looking at this, you'd want to say it's the Ran writing this. Okay. Except for he would have quoted the Rambam if it were the Ran, because if the Ran here quotes the Ran, then this Mefarish would have quoted it too. The Ritva and the Ran are probably one generation apart, no? Something like that. The Ran is a generation after. So, and they're both living in Spain. So. No, he hasn't. Has he said that yet? No, the first part, he doesn't take a position yet.
He's just setting it up.
So Lefi Osa Sugya suggests that maybe we could split the psach between the Nai and the Dain. And he says, no, once the Gemara is Mesupak about both. The Ikamanda Amar. So that's a really wild claim. That Rabbi Yehuda, both the Rabban also require Vidain, they just don't require Minai, according to the Gemara Nadarim. And then, Lefiza. So that's pretty wild. You're getting to the same psah as the second paragraph of the Nitra, but from a very different vantage point. Right? What is he saving himself in doing this? Is that you get the pasul like the Rabbanon. That's what you get. So he says, and this might be the Ramah actually, he's quoting it. That's what it says in the footnotes. Well, the Vahadamash Mahaha. Oh, so what does he say? That the Gemara here, yes. The problem, of course, of saying that the Rabbanon Amoda by the Dain is it runs explicitly against this Gemara. And you might add, it doesn't even say anything in the Gemara Nadarim about it. So he says, no, you're right. The Gemara here does initially, when it says that the Rabbanon Savi Adayim Shemechicha Savi Adayim, you don't need the Dain because it's clear he's being Megarisha with this Ksav. So that's only the Havamina in the Darim. That's the first stage in our Gemara. That yeah, it's got to be the Rabbanon don't require a day, and the Rabbanon don't require Minai. But the Chiba Inan. But in the Maskana,
So this is the question of the Gemara here is only on the assumption that they're arguing about it. But according to the Maskana of the Gemara Dan, everybody requires V'dein. And this is pretty wild, right? The Gemara starts out by saying there's a machlokas over V'dein. And then the Gemara says, Ibayilu, how we paskin. But we don't really hold like this Gemara. We hold like the Gemara Nadarim. Gemara Nadarim assumes that the Rabbanu require V'dein, because it only said that Minai is Muchach. Yeah?
In order to do the thing that feels more conservative, to say that you're paskin like the Rabbanan, you end up going really extreme. I mean, you've seen people already in the Rabbanan who prefer the Sogyan Nadarim. At least Maskana is Sogyan Nadarim.
Right.
But here we're seeing, not only do you prefer the Maskana is Sogyan Nadarim, you actually have to completely like reread the Sogyan and
Well, he doesn't reread this in Gittin. He just said it Shaloli b'dehochasa. He's saying the Gemara here was, yes, is only according to the Hava meaning of the Gemara Nadarim. But that's not a rereading, because that's the whole problem. The starting point of our entire week of Shir has been that the Gemara in Gittin seems to follow the Hava meaning of the Gemara Nadarim, not the Maskana of the Gemara Nadarim. So I don't know if you want to call it a rereading. What's radical about it is that the Rabbanan require V'dein, where it doesn't sound like that from the Mishnah even. Right? And why do you say the Rabbanan require V'dein? Because you want Rabbah to paskin like the Rabbanan. You want to follow the Maskana of the Gemara Nadarim. But V'dein isn't Muchach. The Gemara Nadarim doesn't say it's Muchach. So obviously the Rabbanan require V'dein. So he says, V'zeh. Go ahead, Yoni. Last part. V'zeh. Yeah. The answer to the question of the Gemara at the end, Ibai Lahu, Bina V'dein or not, is, oh, by the way, of course you require V'dein, because everybody requires V'dein. Well, right, why not answer based upon the Maskana? The Ode. Okay, so this Sugya, which is the Ikar by Gittin, it's not the Ikar by Yadayim Shein HaMochichos, is the sugya we should follow. Lefikach. Okay. Umihu. No, the split of the psak. That's his first, that I assume is his Lashon Rishon. Umihu. Okay, so if we're going to paskin like the Lashon Rishon, I mean, I'm not really sure why he feels the need to say this at the end. The Lashon Rishon holds that Yadayim Shein Mochichos Lahavin Yadayim, except for that Minoi happens to be Mochichos. It's Lo Mochichotocha Lashon. So what should the Dinbay Kiddushin be? So you would have said Yadayim Shein Mochichos Lahavin Yadayim, as you would expect. That's why you need Li. So what? What? That's right. That's the question. That's what I'm asking. So it's almost as if he's feeling the need to say, one second, you know, if ain't on the megarish ishas chavero, then ain't on the mekadesh isha. So he says, no, you are mekadesh ishas chavero. That's exactly the point. In other words, if one thing that's muchach is that ain't on the megarish ishas chavero, then by kiddushin you shouldn't require the either. Now, not because your dying shein mochichos should be a dying by kiddushin, but because this very thing is considered mochichos. You just said by get it's considered mochiach because in other megarish sheishos chavero. So by kiddushin it should be muchach. So he says no, it's not muchach by kiddushin because the ha'adam mekadesh sheishos chavero. Hence, you require li. In other words, it might be, look, Yadayim Shein Mochichos, a little bit, you know, the mixas it is, because usually you mekadesh your wife. But you do have cases people mekadesh other people's wives. You don't mekadesh somebody else's wife in the same way. So that's why he's answering the last line. Yes, Daniel.
I'm just confused. He said in the second paragraph, oh, this is better than the first paragraph. Right? Because there
is right now,
he ends in the second paragraph. So why at the end when
he's going to... No, so you can't, I know, I understand. The only problem is, if you say that, then the question for Kedusha is legami, not a question.
I know.
Right? And he says, Lashon Harishon Ikar. I think he's referring to the first Ulefio Sasuya. I understand. He says in the second paragraph, Zeus Anachon.
Do I trust the beginning of what he says, or do I trust the end of what he says? Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Third one is wrong, and never the first one is right.
Yes, yes. I don't know. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Do we have any more questions on this aspect of the Sugya? I feel we have said plenty. Okay.